Hi guys,
welcome back to the Unraveling the World podcast.
So on this week's episode, we're joined with Ahaley. So we're going to be talking about EMT and kind of what an EMT does on a day-to-day basis. So if you could just kind of let us know what an EMT is and what they do to get us started.
Yeah, so hey guys, I'm Ahaley and I'm a student at Rutgers and I'm an EMT, a volunteer EMT with an agency called Manville First Aid and Rescue Squad. And so I recently became an EMT in the beginning of the year. And what I learned is that, you know, a lot of EMT is just, you don't really know what's gonna happen. So it's a waiting game. And, you know, you get used to like the everyday routine of things, but you always have to be prepared for what you're going to see on scene. So basically as an EMT, I respond to emergency situations that are health related, and you know, we carry emergency equipment with us in our jump bag and in the ambulance, and we're basically able to treat the patient and stabilize them on the truck, on the ambulance, and then we transfer the patient over to the hospital nurses. Sometimes when we have patients that are more critical, we have paramedics join us either on scene or en route to the hospital, and we just basically help the paramedics in stabilizing the patient and transferring them over to the hospital.
Yeah, and like just to give a bit of my background knowledge, so my medical knowledge is very minuscule, but like obviously it's med in general is a very difficult field because of everything that you encounter. So like beginning, like when you were young and stuff, what kind of inspired you to go to the med and now as a college student go and pursue EMT in your like free time, and like what inspired you? Do you think you have like a specific moment in your childhood or something that inspired you or pushed you to go into med?
So for me, generally, I was always more interested in healthcare rather than any of the other fields. And then, you know, growing up, I knew that I always had this kind of like interest in a health related field. But to be very honest, I was still looking for my reason. And that reason really just made sense for me when I started writing as an EMT. And just going into and exploring the field of emergency medicine, you know, even in school, I'm ACPR and AED and stroke trainer. And just going out there and talking to people and just, you know, during the classes or, you know, talking to people of all various backgrounds and, you know, whether they be old people, young people, teaching someone like life-changing skills and life-saving skills was really a moment where I was like, wow, like what I'm teaching these people is really like can have a very important impact on their lives. And just writing as an EMT and looking at like the fast treatment that I'm able to provide and just the ease I'm able to put families at is just something that just makes sense for me and my morals. And it's just really shown me that, you know, the field that I want to go into is right for me.
That's amazing. What it's like, it's clear you have good intentions, and I'm glad that you were able to discover that. Could you describe a typical day or a shift in the life of an emergency technician?
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much. That means a lot. And basically, I mean, obviously I'm a volunteer EMT, so this is not, and I'm pretty new, so this is not something that, you know, I've been doing for a long time. But what my typical shift looks like is, you know, I usually do 24-hour shifts on Saturdays and they last overnight. So it is quite challenging, you know. Going into it, I was just excited. So I didn't realize that, you know, I need to save my energy and really put in all I have on like every call, because you never know what to expect and you always have to be ready. So I would say for me, you go in, you kind of wait around. We have a station, and so we have like beds and we have a desk to do work. You first, you know, check the ambulance, make sure you have everything you need so that you're ready to go on call. We put our pagers on, we have a radio to talk to, you know, county, so the dispatchers that dispatch us. So we wait around, we make sure we have everything, and then Once our pagers go off, you know, we get a little description, just like a couple words of what to expect and the address. And then we respond with our radios. And then depending on the severity of the call, we actually always go lights and sirens. And then, you know, we go on scene. We usually have police waiting for us because as EMTs, it's very important that our scene is safe. And then we go in, we assess the patient, you know, if we see that it is something very important, critical, we just recommend the patients to go get themselves checked out at the hospital. We take the patients to the hospital and then clean our ambulances, come back to the station, pretty much get ready for another call. And yeah, some days are busier than others. You know, I've had days when I've pretty much had a call like 12 or 13 calls like in one shift, and each call usually lasts like about an hour and a half depending on what type of call it is. But yeah, that's pretty much my day.
So you mentioned how your calls are about like 1 to 1.5 hour. I was wondering what was your most like severe case that you had to take part in, or what was like the longest case you had to work on?
Yeah, so I mean, to this day, I think the most, demanding calls are CPR calls where, you know, you go and you have an unresponsive patient and, you know, you kind of have to take lead. You need to start CPR. You need to take over care from, usually police get there first, so they're doing CPR. So you have to start CPR, you know, you get your partner ready. Depending on whether you're getting paramedics, you know, you kind of clean up the area to make sure the paramedics can come and, you know, start CPR. And so I think my most challenging call was, I mean, kind of an emotional one for me. And that was probably a pronouncement call where, you know, we went and the patient was DOA, which is a terminology that we use, which is death on arrival. And it's just, you know, hard to, you know, just see the family there, and they're obviously very emotional. And, you know, you as a healthcare provider, obviously, you have to make sure that you're making everyone feel at ease, and you're not, you know, you're able to kind of alleviate, you know, the stress, or be empathizing with, you know, the family members and everything. So that was probably like one of the hardest calls that I've been on.
Like because of these like hard and difficult calls that you experience like throughout your shifts and stuff, what do you think, how do you like handle the emotional and psychological challenges that come with EMT, and how do they like push you to kind of help the family while also like working on making sure the patient is like stable and stuff?
I mean, so I guess like the best way that I'm able to cope and just, you know, normalize the feelings that I'm feeling, because it comes with the profession or it comes with, you know, the work that I do, is just having other EMT friends and just talking with my partner and everyone else, you know, in the squad. And that's just like the best way, personally, that I've felt, because, you know, I work with people who've had much more experience than I have, and just seeing the ease with which they're able to, you know, handle those situations. And obviously we talk about it later, and, you know, we talk about ways that we can, you know, improve, you know, on further calls. And just, you know, having other friends who are also students and EMTs, is just a really great way that I have learned how to, you know, be better, and also just be a better healthcare provider in general. You know, I'm part of Medic Zero outside of obviously being an EMT, and we just talk a lot about evidence-based medicine. And so just being and just learning and reading like articles or papers published by other EMTs or other healthcare providers, and just learning how to be a better healthcare provider, also gives me confidence in being able to, you know, better handle these situations, given that I am relatively new. So yeah, that's probably how, first of all, like I deal with such situations, and also like make sure that I continue to be a better healthcare provider.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about the more you know, the more confident you feel. I think that I was curious of like what safety protocols and what precautions do you follow to protect yourself and your team while responding to emergencies?
Yeah, so I mean, this is very important when it comes to, you know, an EMT's life, because there are, I mean, I've read that, you know, being an EMT is one of the most dangerous jobs that you could possibly do, because as healthcare professionals, you know, we have the job of comforting patients, even the most dangerous patients. Our job is always comforting patients and making sure patients know that, you know, not to associate us with law, because obviously we can come off as scary because we wear uniforms, we have all these tools on us. And so, you know, it is quite dangerous. However, and also we're not allowed to carry weaponry or anything like that. Even pepper spray is, you know, not really something that we carry. And so we really depend and rely on our police officers when it comes to that. You know, as I mentioned before, we always have police on scene before us. They make sure the scene is safe. They usually stay on scene with us for the entire duration of the call. I've had a couple, just one or two instances where I requested, so I usually ride with a driver who's also an EMT, but I stay in the back with the patient. And, you know, being a girl, being a woman in this profession, like, I have to, you know, be more mindful of what I think is safe for me. So I've had an instance where I've asked the police officer to kind of stay in the back while we go to the hospital, especially if I think that the patient, you know, might change or do something which is unexpected. So, you know, that is something that I'm able to employ as an EMT, you know, ask for help, make sure the police is on scene, and just and ensure that my safety is above everyone else's. And that is something that, you know, I mentioned again before, but it's really, really important when it comes to this field, because we never want more than one patient. We always, you know, because if I become a patient, obviously my patient's life is at jeopardy, and then, you know, it'll just be a much worse situation.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's a really important point about, like, being safe, especially because medicine is a very complicated field. And on top of that, safety is another issue. So I was wondering what advice you would give to someone considering a career as an EMT, as there are a lot of things to keep in mind.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, just go into this field with the right intention, because, you know, a lot of people, they want to do healthcare because it's glamorous, but they don't realize how much goes into being a good healthcare provider. And what goes into really being a mindful and empathetic healthcare provider is just wanting to do good and put your best self forward on every single call. So, you know, as EMTs, we have this thing where, you know, depending on the town you ride in, you'll have these patients called frequent flyers, and they're basically patients who usually don't have that big of a problem, but they call 911 and they just want to be transported to the hospital. And usually, you know, you don't know the patient's background really, but, you know, you realize that you're like, oh, she's calling again, let's go. She's going to do the same thing. We're going to put her in the ambulance. She's going to go to the hospital. The nurses are going to say, oh, why'd you bring her here again? You know, but just even with the frequent flyers, and no matter what their background is, just always being, you know, remembering your job as a healthcare provider to be empathetic and to do what the patient requests when it comes to transporting them to the hospital. You know, that is just very important when it comes to this profession. And it's definitely not all glamorous. So going into it, you know, knowing the challenges that, I mean, of course you won't know all the challenges that come along with it, but just adapting. And, you know, if you see that this is something that you want to continue it. If not, I think it's important to, you know, talk to more EMTs and talk to people, because healthcare might be right for you, and it just might be that, you know, emergency medicine is not your thing. So just figuring out a place in healthcare that fits for you is definitely very important.
Yeah, just to talk about in the beginning, you talked about how you kind of wanted to get into healthcare and more specifically like emergency, being an emergency technician because of kind of your experiences and your morals kind of aligned with this field. So how has your like morals and the work that you've done proved or had a good outcome in one of the calls that you made? In other words, like, can you share a memorable success story where your intervention like made a significant difference in a patient's life?
Yeah, so I can tell you one experience. I mean, of course I won't give you like too many details because I'm not allowed to, but I can tell you about the time that I went on a call with my partner who hadn't really interacted with an infant patient before. So, you know, most of our calls have been adult patients. And so to go, you know, to hear on the radio that, you know, we have an infant patient who is obviously in distress, we went on call and I hadn't had much experience, obviously, either with infant patients. But just going on call, staying calm, and remembering that, you know, you have to take in charge because the entire family depends on you to ease them in that moment that you enter their doors. So, you know, going in there, remembering what I have learned, but then also remembering that, you know, this family is very real and these are real people, and just doing your best. So, you know, going in, I obviously saw that, you know, the family was in distress, the baby was crying, which is always good because that means that their airway is clear, not much to worry about. And just looking at, I remember looking at the family's eyes and they were just so red and in fear of, you know, this baby. And just, it was that moment of like, oh my gosh, like suddenly I'm responsible for, you know, taking care of this child and obviously easing its discomfort. And it was a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, like I have to do this. But just, you know, carrying the baby in your arms and then doing, you know, the treatment that I did. And so the baby was choking when we arrived, and just remembering to stay calm, I like gave it back slaps, which is basically a treatment that we do for choking patients. And just to look at the ease in the family's eyes and like the hope that they suddenly just, you know, had in their faces was like the most gratifying feeling that I've experienced as an EMT thus far. And it's something that like really pushed me into, you know, continuing what I do and just be better every day. So yeah, that was probably one of the instances where what I did felt really successful.
Yeah, I feel like when like the parents especially, like they must have been like so relieved, right? But I was wondering, like, how do you handle situations where patients or like their families are like uncooperative or resistant to treatment?
Yeah, so I mean, we have those quite often where actually I haven't had like families really. Usually it's a family that calls and the patient denies treatment. But in those scenarios, you know, as EMTs, we have one job, and that's to really talk to them and try your best to convince them to go to the hospital, because again, that is our job, because we are not doctors. Our job is to treat them on scene, keep them stable, and take them to the hospital. And we always, always recommend them to go to the hospital and get them checked out, because often a patient might not know exactly what's going on with them, but the family member might notice and have a better understanding of what's going on. So, but if the family's uncooperative, again, if it's dangerously uncooperative, then we have, you know, obviously police on scene, and depending on the situation, we might ask the patient to, you know, step aside so we can talk to them separately, far away from the family. So yeah, I mean, there are multiple ways to handle this scenario, but I think just, you know, talking and really trying to convince them to go to the hospital is the best that we can do as EMTs.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part of being an EMT. And I feel like not a lot of people realize that, because many people just think that doctors, they kind of just treat people and provide them like the care that they need. But there's kind of a lot of work that goes into it, like a lot of talking and communication, which is like, I feel like a lot, like a majority of the job as well. And I wanted to ask another question, which was, are you doing any sort of research or initiatives that's ongoing to improve emergency medical care?
Yeah, so I'm not really doing research specifically in emergency medicine. However, I am a CPR trainer with Medic Zero. So, you know, I go to schools, libraries, boardwalks, and, you know, we have mannequins and we teach bystanders how to perform CPR. We do presentations on various other emergency protocols like stroke recognition, bleeding control, infant CPR, choking, and things of that nature to, you know, increase the rates of bystander intervention when it comes to emergency situations, especially in cases of like choking, stroke, and CPR, because, you know, in those situations, what bystanders do can really drastically improve patient outcome. So that is something that I am actively doing and take, you know, it's very something that I'm very passionate about. But outside of emergency medicine, I do, I am part of a research lab at Rutgers University, and we basically study neuroinflammation and basically other diseases and like the outcome of, you know, and the importance of basically neuroinflammation in those diseases. Although it's not directly related to emergency medicine, again, it is something that I am interested in for the future.
I think that's a great point, and I think it's such a big step, like individually and collectively together will definitely like allow the field of medicine to advance exponentially in the coming like couple years. And trying to like digress back to your point of like CPR in high schools and stuff, because more specifically because you mentioned that you go and train other people about CPR and stuff, I just wanted to know, like, do you think like education about CPR has been improving in the past couple years, and where do you see it going in like the next year or like a year or so? And do you think it has only recently gained importance that everyone should know this basic life skill?
Yeah, so I mean, when it comes to CPR as a trainer, and working with, you know, different age groups, what I've realized is that the whole protocol of CPR has changed a lot compared to even 10 years ago. What we teach now is nothing like what we taught before, because before people used to do mouth to mouth to deliver breaths, and that is something that is not done anymore, you know, at all. And so there's this misinformation when it comes to, you know, whether we should spend more time on the chest or whether we should deliver breaths as bystanders. So that is something that, you know, at every training I've noticed, especially when it comes to older generations. So that is something that, you know, we're trying to reduce, and hopefully everyone, you know, knows the current protocol when it comes to those things. Sorry, can you repeat the second part of your question again?
Oh, yeah. I said, do you think, especially in high schools and stuff, do you think it has improved in, like, have more people gained a better understanding about the importance of CPR? Because I know that, like, in my school, like, South and stuff, all students get, like, a CPR training and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if you think the difference has increased in the past couple of years.
Yeah. So I actually have noticed that when it comes to younger generations, I've seen that a lot of people are already CPR trained, and a lot of people really know what's going on, which is really great to see, because, you know, that means that schools are doing a good job of, you know, training their kids and making sure that they know what to do. And that is quite refreshing to see that. However, yeah, just like, you know, looking at older generations, I haven't really seen that much. And I've seen quite a bit of misinformation when it comes to how to do CPR.
Yeah. I think that's about it. I guess as a last question, is someone that you like look up to who like look up to in possibly this field, who like inspires you to be a better healthcare professional?
To be honest, I don't really have a specific person that I look up to. I think what keeps me going is just looking at, you know, the numerous doctors and like the numerous other healthcare providers and just, you know, my everyday interactions with nurses to just see like all the good that they're doing and all the selfless acts that they're doing just to make sure that what work is being done is done better and just continue to be done is honestly what like inspires me, and that's what, you know, kind of keeps me going. So I don't think there's one specific person, but I think just, you know, seeing like all the numerous people that are, you know, giving their time into this field is what is honestly inspiring to me.
I think that's about it. I want to take a quick second to like thank you for first coming on the podcast, but also in general, like spending 24 hours of your lengthy day to like help so many people around in like Mandel and stuff. I think
it takes
obviously moral and time, but it also takes a lot of energy. Like I know that when you come home and stuff, you're very tired and stuff, but yeah, I think a lot of people are very grateful for med, and I think it goes beyond, it takes like a certain type of person to be like involved in this field. But yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Of course. Bye.
Bye.